Amen. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you for being our God. It's so much better you being our God than some other kind of thing out there. We thank you, Father, because you're a loving and graceful God. And you have a standard that we live by. And you even gave it to us in writing. We praise you for that, Father. You gave us your Son and gave us access to you. But we can come right straight to your throne, Father. We praise you for that. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for tonight's outreach, fellowship. This is a fellowship of like-minded believers that really believe the Word of God. And I thank you, Father, that new revelations come out every time we look at the Word. That you would open up and peel back the layers of our understanding, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state and everything it represents. I thank you, Lord, for getting us all in safe places in the days ahead that where the enemy is going to try some stupid stuff. But, Lord, we thank you for your safety and your influence upon our life. Thank you, Lord, for placing it in our hearts to pray every day and to get close to you, Father, and to have you come and speak with us, Lord, about the things of you, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for all the healings that are even taking place as we speak right now. And I thank you for it, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for discernment in everybody here, that they can understand and discern all the evilness around them and be able to pray against it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everybody here and those that are even outside the country here, Father. We ask that you bless them tonight. And thank you for getting Vanita and Nick back home safe. We praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless us tonight, Lord. Lead us and guide us also. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Teresa, go ahead. Hey, Missy or Julie, would y'all get a song up ready?
Can we lift up Terry? He's got a deal. You know, he's still recovering. You know, God is still restoring his brain.
Yeah.
And you know, he's with his dad and his wife, and who is a really super good cook. And so he's getting his body restored. And I'm just so grateful for what she's doing. And, you know, and so he's been sober now for 2 months. So
praise God.
This is a hallelujah. This is a hallelujah. Because if you would have seen where he was at, you know, compared to now, I mean, it's like God rose him up. God resurrected him. You know, and is bringing him back to normal. And so, yeah. I mean, it's a God thing.
Okay.
And so, but he's got court things that he has to deal with. And, you know, he's got to get his life back, you know, to where, you know, he's supporting his kids, you know, and, you know, whatever needs to happen with Dina. But, his dad's name is Ron. And so Ron was telling me, Ron came to visit Jesse. And so, you know, we were all sitting at the table and, we were discussing, you know, Terry's needs. And so, he was telling me that when they went to court, you know, Dina and her lawyer had this whole setup and they could not accomplish it at the court hearing, you know, because the whole setup was complete fraud. It's completely fraudulent. And they couldn't enact it in front of the judge. I mean, it fell apart. And so that's a God thing. That's a God thing. But, but he's got to deal with this and he's got to get his life, you know, whatever God wants him to do concerning everything, you know, God needs to empower him, give him the power. God's already giving him the power to become a son of God, but to empower him to, that his steps are ordered by the Lord, you know, that he's running that race with empowered by God, you know, to in wisdom, the fruits, gifts, and armor of the Holy Spirit, the new man of the whole, you know, of God's new man. So, because he still has to deal with these court things.
Well, the court things are secondary.
Okay.
First of all, the first thing he needs to do, if you remember the scripture, it talks about if you run after me with all your heart, all this other stuff, you know, it'll line up. But if he does that and he keeps praying, then mm-hmm. he'll come out of this thing on top.
Okay.
He's got to run after him with all his heart. And where is that? Is that Matthew 6:36? No, is that it? 6:36? Yeah. But anyway, that's what he needs to do. If he does that, he'll come out like a champ.
Okay.
No doubt in my mind. I said, if he'll go after the Lord with all his heart, the Lord will see that no, that ain't it.
Well, can I pray a few scriptures here?
Absolutely.
Okay, in Proverbs 4.
33.
In Proverbs 4. Okay, I don't want to take too long. Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you start teaching Terry and give him eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that converts and understands. And that, Lord, you're speaking to his heart, you're teaching his heart, and you're teaching him your word. And his heart is retaining your words, keeping your commandments, and living. He has gotten your wisdom. You have imparted to him your Holy Spirit's fruits, gifts, and armor, and your wisdom. You have given him understanding. He forgets it not, neither declines from the words of your mouth. He forsakes your wisdom not, and wisdom preserves him. Terry loves your wisdom, and wisdom keeps him. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, Terry has gotten wisdom. You have imparted to him your wisdom. And Heavenly Father and Jesus and your Holy Spirit, you are his wisdom. And with all his getting, he has gotten your understanding. He exalts your wisdom, and your wisdom promotes him. Your wisdom brings him to honor. And you're teaching him, and he is embracing your wisdom. And wisdom has given to his head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, has your wisdom delivered to him. He hears you, God. He hears your wisdom. He and Jesus Christ, he hears your sayings, and the years of his life are many. You have taught him in the way of your wisdom. You have led him in your right path. When he goes, his steps is not straightened. When he runs, he does not stumble. He takes fast hold of instruction, lets her not go, keeps her, for she is his life. He enters not into the path of the wicked and goes not in the way of evil people. He avoids it, passes not by it, turns from it, and passes away. In your holy name, mighty holy name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. We bind up and cast out all spirits of any kind of condemnation, spiritual rejection, all of that. In Jesus' name, and command it to go from me right now in Jesus' name. Insecurity, go in Jesus' name. Confusion, go in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that Terry is going to come in a mighty way. That verse is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his okay. righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Okay.
Yeah. Praise God. We cast out all spirits of unworthiness too, in Jesus' name, because we're all not worthy. Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask for prayer. My sister is coming home for the holidays, and I wanted to pray for safe travel for her.
All right, go ahead, brother.
On her way back home.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray for my sister for her safe travels all the way back to Michigan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. She is. She's going to be safe getting there and safe going back home too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right. Is anybody else? Any other prayer requests, Teresa?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Who said? I'm just asking. She didn't catch that. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
I have a kind of a small praise report from the texting that is between me, Ben, and my son-in-law. He finally admitted that he has an addiction. So that's
praise God.
A small thing. And he sent a picture. He went to a church and he sent a picture of him in church. And it's a picture of the Bible in front of him and the ultrasound. And in the background is a church meeting place. It has to be because there's chairs set up and you know like that. So he went to church on Sunday.
Praise God.
So that's another praise report.
Yeah.
And the Lord gave me some word, and I'm just waiting for an open door. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him on in. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, anyone else? Let's all believe for Jeff and Terry. Lord, we lift up Jeff and Terry to you, and we thank you, Father, that you are doing a work in them. In the name of Jesus right now, we cast down, bind up and cast out all doubt and unbelief. We cast out all forms of fear in Jesus' name. And we cast out that spirit of cancer to go in Jesus' name. And any other kind of infirmity. And we just thank you, Father, for restoring Jeff. Everything that the enemy has stolen from him, restored back to normal in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, it's to your glory that you would do this, and I ask that you would do this for them, and use our faith, Father, to get him healed, and I thank you for it, Father, that Jeff is healed, delivered, and set free from this infirmity, in Jesus' name, and I command those spirits that are tormenting Terry and Jeff to go right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of cancer, go from them right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of fear, go in the name of Jesus. Spirit of death, you go in Jesus' name. You don't have a right there. You go right now in Jesus' name. And the spirit of fear, go in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you that they're going to be bold in their faith in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for infusing them with your faith, Father. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Give them the gift of faith, Father. Allow it to work in them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
We also can take authority over that spirit of fear of the symptoms And when those things start manifesting, that they will have bold faith to cast it down, to cast down the symptoms, and to confess the truth that, you know, Jeff is healed, and we're not moved by what we feel or see in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for putting those words in their hearts and their minds, Lord, and to just cast down the symptoms and not be afraid. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Fill them with praise. Fill them both with praise, Lord. Help them just to worship you and praise you and thank you, and to just not be moved. And we bind up and break every word curse that's been spoken over Jeff as well. We command those null and void in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that this is only going to work out to be an awesome testimony of your saving grace, and that Terry and Jeff are both overcomers in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for your awesome way and how you work in us. You give us these trials to go through, Lord, to perfect us, to mature us, to learn to trust you, not by what we feel and see, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that this is the last kind of setback they're going to have with this, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the good report forthcoming. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Vanita, did you get to ride an elephant too? She just took off. Oh.
There I am. Couldn't find the right button to push. Oh, my gosh. Now what's going on? Yes, I got to ride an elephant, too. I had a great time there.
Okay.
I was just going to raise my hand because I wanted to have a praise report. I really wanted to praise the Lord for today. Today was just such a beautiful day, and the Lord just gave us a day of refreshing here. And ever since Nick and I came home a week and a half ago, Frank's been in bed, and he hasn't been able to get out of bed. He just was all congested and just felt terrible. He couldn't get out. And but today, Nick and I were riding in the backyard on our four-wheelers, and all of a sudden Frank showed up on his four-wheeler. And so we just had, it was just
praise
so nice
God.
To be out there with him and just have him just be with us. It just seems like Nick and I are doing everything together, and he's not able to join us, but today he did. And we had such a wonderful day with him today. And it was just so nice to have just
awesome.
Spend time with him. So praise the Lord
awesome.
For today.
Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Well, praise God. Yeah, it was a beautiful day here. I didn't get out much, but it was nice. It was really nice. I think it got up to about 80. Yeah. All right, anyone else? I wouldn't mind if it stayed 80 year-round. That'd be great for me. All right, anybody got a testimony or a praise report or a prayer request? Okay, did one of you gals get a song up? Julie did. No, she said Missy did, and Missy says Julie did. Okay, well, that's all right. I can sing. Better hurry up if you don't want me to sing. Okay, Missy, why don't you get that song by Megan Tibbetts, the one about the family song? Goodness of God, I think is the name of it. Well, hurry up.
No, I was thinking of that too. Let me find it.
Okay. Just type in Megan Tibbetts, it'll come up.
I gotta get on another screen. I'm on the tablet. Hold on a minute, let me find it.
Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to pray about? There's still rumblings about World War III, and the deep state is backed into a corner. When you back those kind of people in a corner, bad things tend to happen. And it looks like we're looking at some kind of a false flag kind of a deal. I don't know. We'll see. Go ahead, Nick. We're going to pray against that here in a minute.
Yeah, I had a birthday over there in India, actually.
Oh, okay. All right. How old are you now? Are you 40?
30.
30? Oh, my goodness, Nick. You're a young man.
Yeah.
Look at Benita. Yeah. Benita, quit pulling those gray hairs out. Okay. Well, happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks.
All right, y'all ready? You ready, Missy? Okay, let me give you the okay here. Go ahead. Now make it big. That's the wrong screen. There you go. You have to turn the sound on.
I'm going to take, I forget how to do that.
Well, let me do it. Unless you can do it real quick.
I don't know. Let me see here.
She's making me dizzy.
Sorry. Green. I'm not seeing a thing about sharing the sound like it did the last time. I think maybe the last time I did it might have been on my you do it, Michael. It's okay. All I want is Jesus.
All right, y'all ready? Here we go.
Abba, my Father, draw There's a place next to your heart in the holies. That's the place where, Lord, I want to stay. There are times when in my searching I have found you there, but all too quickly then those moments slip away. There's a day when what I now see only dark.
Beautiful song. That's pretty. All right. Has anybody got any questions? I've got something I want to read here in a little bit, but I wanted to see if anybody else had anything they had on their mind. Yeah, Benita.
No, I was just thinking, I hadn't listened to that message that David, the teaching he had about voting and what God's plan is and what we should do. And I don't know, just I listened to it once before, and the election is 2 weeks away. So I was just going to go back and listen to that again about his, I mean, we're not part of this kingdom. We're in the heavenly kingdom. We're not part of this world, and how that all plays out. So I don't know if any of you had any thoughts on voting and any of that. So I was just curious about that.
Well, is anybody registered to vote? Pat is. Missy is. Nick is. Nick, tell your mama what she ought to do. Amen. Oh, my. To be honest with you, I haven't voted since I became a Christian. So, and that's just me. That's not anything that's, you know. Go ahead, Missy.
I haven't voted since 08. And I don't think you get unregistered if you haven't voted in a long time. I'm registered, but I don't have a card anymore, but they should have my name on file if I decided I would wanted to go. But I know what David teaches about it, and I agree with it. But at the same time, you know, you really just got to ask the Lord yourself if He wants you to vote. You know, I mean, the reality of it is we know that President Trump is God's pick, you know, but does that mean, you know, He wants us to vote?
Well, ask the Lord.
Right, exactly. I think it's just a personal thing, you know.
Yeah. I'm not registered to vote in Tennessee, so I don't have a leg in this boat. I don't have a stand in it. Yeah, go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, the reason it came up today for me, I was walking with my friend today, and she asked me if I was going to vote. And I said, well, I haven't decided yet. I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me what to do, you know, which what I should do if he thinks I should or not. But I probably won't because, and just from David's teaching, this is kind of, you know, what I told her, what he was teaching us was, you know, we don't know, well, our country needs persecution so that we can have a revival. And, you know, there's things that need to happen in this country to bring people out of the churches and out of apostasy and just even to open people's eyes to the truth. And that all needs to happen. So just some of those thoughts I was sharing with her that David taught on, to think about, you know, things to think about when you're deciding if you should vote or not. So yeah, those just came up today.
I believe that the Lord can have tribulation on his people, whoever's in there. It makes no difference. And if there's going to be tribulation or some false flag or something to wake up the church, then he'll have it. That's what I'm thinking. But it's a choice. It's a choice between you and God. You know, if you feel like you need to, go ahead. If you don't, don't worry about it. Just keep praying. I never have, since I became a Christian, I never have. And I was deeply political at one time. And I always voted up until I became a Christian. The Lord took that out of me. So, it's just to you, what it, like Angelica said, vote. You know, if your conscience tells you to go ahead and vote, go ahead and vote. Anybody else? I mean, vote Harris, for goodness sake. I'm trying not to get knocked off here. That's what I'm trying to do. Go ahead, Angelica.
Lock her up. Lock her up.
Absolutely.
No, I just wanted to quickly share. You know, I never really voted ever except for one time. And it was when Obama was first running for president. And, of course, I was young and, you know, born again, not born again and lost. So that was the only time I voted for Obama. And I thought, well, maybe I make up for that by this one vote, one last vote. But I don't feel condemned if I did vote, only simply because I know that the Lord has Trump in office. And I believe that, you know, like Michael said, tribulation is coming no matter who's in office. We've already had tribulation with the last administration, of course, whether false, you know, a false administration or whatever. But because of simply of where we are in the timeline, as far as the tribulation is concerned, like, we're going to have tribulation. And so, but I believe that Trump is going to buy us that time to prepare. So that's why my conscience is pretty clear on that one. And there's other people on the ballot. And I was like, well, I don't even know these people. I really don't want to research them. So I think I'm not going to cast my vote for anybody I don't, you know, I don't know, whatever. So.
Amen. Andrea, I saw your hand up. You could come down and vote in Pennsylvania anytime. They allow anybody to vote down there.
I think they want everyone in the world to vote in America.
That's what, well, they're trying to get everybody in the world in America, aren't they?
Why don't you just vote for all of them? What will happen to your ballot then?
Well, I don't know.
It's only fair. I guess I'd have it right then, you know. I'll
well, what's like, what I see?
Say, you know, vote for everybody.
What I see happening though, when you vote for everybody, it changes it to vote for Harris.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what they've been saying. Yeah. Electronic Marvel.
Yeah.
The machine's going to vote Democrat. You know what I'm saying? Looks like. But
that's the new democracy. Yeah.
Yeah. Democracy. We're not a democracy, by the way. We're a federal republic.
Yeah.
But we are. And there's a difference. Praise God.
I voted for everybody, so I guess they spoiled my ballot.
Everybody got a vote, huh?
Yeah. Well, the way they do it in Canada is when you fill out your taxes, they ask you if you want it to be on the voter list. So everyone's got to be doing their taxes at least once.
Yeah. Well, I think we're fixed to see if when Trump gets in there, we're going to see a big change in the tax laws. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. There will only be a flat tax of 14%, I believe, is what they finally came down to.
Well, I don't know how they do it in America, but here you get a card in the mail, and you can't vote unless you get that card. And when you go to the voting station, they have to cross your name out. That means you already voted. And if you don't have the card, you have to go sit in a chair over there. And the neighborhood recognizes you and says, what's he doing there? What's his name? Oh, you know this person? Yes. Will you vouch for him? Who are you? I don't know if we still have that rule, but it's either on paper or nothing. You got to have that paper when you go to the polling station, and you got to go to that specific polling station. You can't go to just anyone. And if you're not on the list there, you can't vote.
Yeah, I think you got that backwards, Angelica. They do not require. Matter of fact, it's against the law to ask for a voter ID at California. They're a bunch of communists. Yeah. Just let anybody vote. You can go to California, go to Pennsylvania, go to New York. You can vote. But anyway, I do know that we've sent the angels out to every voting place to make sure that the votes are all counted truly like it's supposed to be. And if the machine messes up and puts somebody else's name up there other than what you voted for, they'll fix it. So, and also the Marines are out there, and the White Hats are out there looking also. So it's, hopefully this is going to be a little bit different story this year. But that thing out in California, that's just a mess. That's garbage out there, boy. That's just crazy. Okay, anyone else got a question? I can tell you who's going to win the presidential race and the vice president race. Anybody want to know? A McDonald man. Glory to God. Mac Trump. Glory to God. Mac Trump, Mac Vance. Yeah, I guess everybody saw that. Deal he did. He went up to a McDonald's in there and cooked some fries. That's the best part of McDonald's is the fries. All right. Y'all want to hear a good interview to a Chinese house church leader? What he had to say about how they conduct church over there? You're going to be surprised because it's not anything like what we've seen. This made me think. This made me get up and apologize to the Lord. And hopefully it'll do it to all of us. This is an interview with the Chinese house leaders. That's okay for y'all. It's going to take me. It's got 8 pages long. Small pages. I think you'll like it. All right. Brother Denny, This is the guy that's giving the interview. He said, when I was listening to you, talking about Brother Wren, when I was listening to you, I wrote a few questions that I had wanted to ask. One is about fasting and prayer. How much do the people fast and pray in the house churches of China? I want you to listen carefully to what his answer is. Brother Wren says this. He says, let's take prayer first. The leaders of the church in China try to pray 3 to 4 hours a day. That's normal. But then there are some brethren who are totally committed to pray. Almost every minute they are awake, they are praying. They cannot even be elders in the church because of the amount of time they spend in prayer. They have two kinds of leaders in the church. They have spiritual leaders who fast and pray, and then they have practical operational leaders who are active in everyday affairs of the church. The praying leaders are praying for the whole church and especially for the practical leaders. They are not in a preaching ministry. The operational leaders go to them for direction and wisdom. Very few Westerners have ever met these elders. These men are older men, these men are older men who cannot travel anymore. So they are mainly in that ministry. It literally keeps the church on track. They hear from the Lord and give answers to the practical leaders. Brother Paul says, I know a brother who never sleeps more than 2 hours a night. He prays for 22 hours a day. The brothers and sisters pray always, and there are many all-night prayer vigils. I have been to some of these prayer meetings. By morning, the floor is slippery because of all the tears that flow during prayer. Brother Denny says, well, what about fasting? What part does fasting play in all these testimonies we have heard? Just a moment here. Brother Wren says, well, there's two kinds of fasting in China. Most of the pastors have to fast because they don't have money to buy food. It is a natural part of their lives. The other kind of fasting is out of a burden for someone or some spiritual issue. When you read from Brother Yun's Y-U-N book, you will read how he fasted 100 days to get one Bible during the Cold War Revolution. He was eating a small bowl of rice each day, that's all. That means there was no time that he wasn't fasting. After 100 days of prayer and fasting, he received a Bible in a supernatural way. That story is there. It is not in any way special. The people fast like that often. During one of the meetings on this tour, Paul was sharing something about one of the gospel teams. The first time we sent about 20 people out to preach, 19 of them were arrested. One came back to report. Everyone else was detained for 6 months. We sent another group. The same thing happened. One lady came home on a stretcher. They smashed her skull. She was paralyzed, but later God restored her. When there is such resistance like this in one specific location, then the whole team goes to fasting and praying. And usually, this kind of fasting will break the yoke within 30 days. and then the gospel has free course. When there is a real resistance, the teams do not try to push the gospel. They just go on their knees and wait on the Lord to hear his voice for direction on what to do. They just keep silent and continue to fast and pray. This is a very practical part of their lives. Brother Denny says, do they have corporate fasting where the whole church joins in when a need comes up? Brother Wren says, yes, they do. Let me just give you an example about when the group Eastern Lightning kidnapped all of their leaders. I met with the leaders from maybe 10 different house church networks. They would all say, we have started once a week for fasting and prayer for the release of these leaders. That was something pronounced all around the body of Christ in China. When Brother Young was arrested, the whole church in China was fasting and praying. Brother Denny, how do the Acts of the Apostles compare to the Chinese church? What does the Chinese church believe about the book of Acts? Brother Paul says this. They would say, we are there. It is our normal Christian life. They believe that Acts is a demonstration of the normal Christian life. It is a testimony of the resurrected Christ, and he is still the same today. They don't believe that miracles have passed away. Brother Wren, we have to understand that the gospel that is preached in China is a little bit different. The emphasis is not only intellectual and mental messages. It is 50% preaching, 50% showing the power of the gospel. You hear what he said? 50% is preaching, 50% is showing the power of the gospel. There is always an expectation and readiness for miracles. It is normal that any time when the message of the gospel is pronounced, there is going to be a demonstration of the power of God in that situation. People can see clearly that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is the Savior of the world. The Church of China is not praying for miracles, but they're living in miracles. It is like Paul said, it is the normal Christian life. Think about the challenge of the countries west of China, like the many Muslim nations or countries. The only thing that can really bring an opening to these people is a demonstration of God's compassion. You have to show them that you have something more than all these gods they are bowing to. You have to prove your case instantly and on the spot, and that this is true, that Jesus is alive, that he is the Savior of the world, and that he has all authority. The Chinese house churches are living in the time of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is working in their lives. They are just trying to follow the wind of the Holy Spirit, and it's something we miss. We always want to settle, and we hope that the Holy Spirit will settle with us and just be with us as we create these centers and places where we hope the Spirit will be moving in a mighty way. We have to understand that God's Holy Spirit is moving all the time. It's us that blocks him. I just added that. We have to be very flexible. We should, with the maximum effort, join the Holy Spirit where he is working and not trying to work ourselves. It is always better to partner with him, to find out where he is active today, where the battle is going on, and join him there. Then we will be blessed with souls, and also the blessing will be reversed upon us. Brother Denny asked, he said, that leads me to my next question. What about missions and methods of evangelism? How dare our Chinese brothers live out the Great Commission? Brother Paul said, well, their theology and methods are really quite simple. They believe there's only one reason, get this, there is only one reason why God has left them here on earth, and that is to evangelize the lost. Anyone who is not actively pursuing this holy purpose is missing the mark. The Great Commission cannot be compromised. Their methods are anointed preaching with signs following. Glory to God. The leaders instruct the evangelism teams to go to a new village and inquire about the worst problem in the village. Then they are to go and minister to that problem and show that Jesus is the all-powerful Savior. And with this success, they turn to people and preach Jesus to them. Glory to God. Woo, my. Hey, now here comes the example. You've heard this before. Here comes the example. Brother Wren says, I will give you a beautiful example of how this worked. For two young ladies who were sent to a village to share the gospel, these two sisters, 18 years old and very tiny, came to a village of about 300 people. There was one big problem. There was a man who was possessed by demons, and somehow the communists were able to count that this man had 12 demons in him. He was learned in 5 different languages. He was so powerful that 12 heavy farmers could not hold him back. They tried with chains and wires, but he had the power to break free. This man happened to live at the entrance of that village. The whole village of 300 people could not walk on the road, but had to walk in the forest because the man decided that nobody was going to pass through the property, his property. And whenever anyone stepped on through the property line, which was invisible, the man would come out with a jungle knife in his hand and shouting, I'm going to kill you. Everybody was afraid. It was like this for many, many years. Now, these two young ladies, 18-year-old, tiny, I can see them shuffling up there. Can't y'all see them shuffling up there? Came asking, what is the biggest problem in this village? Everybody pointed to the crazy demon-possessed man and his house. The sisters turned around and started to move towards that house. They were walking and praying. The whole village came out from their houses because everybody wanted to see what would happen. They knew where the invisible line was, and if they step over that line and enter into his property, they knew what would happen. He would fly out with a jungle knife, half naked, with a crazy look in his eye, and all the demons would drive him forward to them. Sister Lee, one of the young girls, was leading. The two of them entered onto his property. The man ran out through the door with a knife in his hand. This sister lifted up her hand and said, in the name of Jesus, stop! This man became frozen. He stopped in midair like a statue. He couldn't move back and he couldn't move forward. This man was like a stone. He couldn't do anything. He could not stand. His eyes were totally frozen. This happens quite often in China. We know by experience that the body is frozen by the Holy Ghost. But the person can hear with his ears. You can share any message you want to with this kind of person. I guess so. He's bound up by the Holy Spirit. He can understand every word that you speak. Sister Lee went next to this statue and started to proclaim the gospel. And she then, through the name of Jesus, cast out all 12 demons out of that man. He was instantly delivered. He melted in that spot like butter and sunshine. He fell down onto the ground and was completely restored. The first words out of his mouth were, "This Jesus is Lord." He was wonderfully saved and restored. Glory to God. Two little old tiny 18-year-old girls whooped up on that boy. There was a very special group of people who stood together in the village that day. There they stood, the two girls on each side and the man who used to be possessed in the middle of them. He was talking to these sisters, and together they entered into the village. And as they passed the doors of the first house, the families one by one confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. The whole village with 300 people surrendered to the Lord that evening. These are very simple gospel methods. Problem, solution, salvation. Brother Denny asked, he said, with results like these, they hardly need us Americans to help them. We should be learning from them. Brother Paul says, well, actually, that's not the case. They very much need missionaries who can come help them and work together, but as equal brothers, not as Western leaders leading the show. He made an emphasis on that. That day is well and truly finished, and it's easy to see they do not need our leadership. This is causing a great burden on the Chinese church. I sat in a meeting when one of the house church leaders stood up and said, "We just don't understand why people are racing into China from the West with their own vision and ideas, doing their own thing." He continued, "Why don't these people come and ask us what God has given to the church? They're all bringing their new vision, and it's actually damaging the advance of the gospel in China. The proud Westerners do not even think to ask the Chinese church. The key is that first, you must find out what vision God has given his body in China. Then, how you can be a part of that vision. Don't bring a new vision to China." Brother Denny said, well, let's move on to another important question. How do the Chinese Christians evaluate American Christianity? Hold on to your seats, folks. Brother Wren, he says, they feel like the church in the West is playing games. They are troubled, the Chinese are troubled with all the laughter in their meetings. They, in the Chinese church, are broken and weeping in their assemblies. And we, Christians in America, are telling jokes. This brings very different results. They feel we are bound by traditions and programs and therefore cannot follow the Holy Spirit's leadings. We have to make sure we have that direct line to the Holy Spirit and seek to hear his voice. We can never overemphasize the difference between the followers of Jesus in the West and in China. These followers in China hear their master's voice and they follow him. This is actually a very simple theology. The Christians in the West have been able to eliminate Christ and his direct presence in their midst. And I have a feeling sometimes that the whole Christianity in the West could be going for years before they discover that Jesus has not been with them for a long time. He's gone somewhere else. He's not with them anymore. Brother Paul says, the personal message I got from Brother Yun, Y-U-N, is that of Jesus asleep in the boat. His whole point was that so many people in missions, in churches, and in ministry start out with the power of God and great visions. But then people think, okay, we can row it ourselves now. Thank you very much. And Jesus goes to sleeping in the boat. Great storms arise. They have to wake Jesus up before it's too late to calm the storm. Make sure Jesus isn't asleep in your church, in your family, or in your life. Now he cautions us to read Psalms 149, verses 4 through 9. And y'all can do that on your own. All right, any comments? It looks a little bit different over here, doesn't it? Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, it does. It is over here. You know, I used to, when I was in the church system before I found the truth of UBM and, you know, following this ministry, it was a lot of it was entertainment. You know, the church just wants to be entertained with the speakers and their programs and, you know, they have a skit. They would have a skit and act something out and, you know, their traditions and, you know, their formal way of doing everything, you know, and, you know, it was an hour and a half, I think. Maybe just over an hour, hour 15 minutes, something like that. But yeah, it's just sad, you know, when you get the revelation of what you're in and then you get even greater revelation when God calls you out. It's like, thank you, Lord, for getting that out of there, you know, because this really is. The other thing, when you were reading that, Michael, what was coming to my mind is some scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 1, 4 and 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved of God, your election, how that our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, even as you know what manner of men we showed ourselves toward you for your sake. You know, it's with power. It's not just with the teaching and the preaching, but with power. And that's what they were getting. That's what you were explaining, what you're sharing, you know, it was miracles and power, you know, and fasting and praying. And, you know, Lord, forgive me. You know, I don't fast enough. I know that I don't. And I think we're pretty spoiled here in this country, too, when it comes to food and all that stuff. So, you know, Lord, just move in my heart about that. And, you know, that we can sacrifice so much of our flesh, so much of our own self for you, Lord, to seek your face. And just as you lead us, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Kind of hoping we could talk about fasting. I don't know. I wasn't going to bring it up until it was brought up. So, because I've been trying to fast, and I'll confess, I kind of failed these 2 days in a row this week now, and just something to talk about. I don't know, like I was talking about it today with God, and I was like, you know, do you even want me to fast? And then I flipped the coin. He said, yeah. And I was like, well, how long do you want me to? And I flipped the coin, and it only told me to do 1 day. And I was like, well, that's what happened last time. So I'll do the 1 day, and I'll pray on it again. So praise God for giving me some sort of revelation to fast. But, you know, I couldn't even make it past 1 day. And that's, well, I'm not here to toot my own horn, but usually you can get by a couple of days without getting a hankering or something. But I don't know. It was just something. It was tough for me these past 2 days. And it was weird. It's like, it wasn't even the full day. I don't know. Like, does anyone have some sort of experience or insight on what I'm talking about?
Well, if the Lord tells you to fast and you ask him how long, what if he said 100 days with just a bowl of rice every day? Because people's lives depend on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that that's what he's going to do, but I'm saying that's what they do over there. This one guy here. So, I think we have, I'm talking about Michael now. I'm not going to talk about y'all because y'all have to search your own conscience. I think our priorities have been messed up in a way that allows our flesh to live more so than we really want it to. And the way to do that, I'm seeing, after I read this, I'm seeing that the way to find out where he wants you is like we just got through quoting Matthew 6:33. Run after him with all your heart and all that other stuff will come into place. So as far as fasting, let's see what Angelica says.
I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts that came to mind when listening to that. As far as fasting is concerned, I will say that, you know, in the beginning when I first got born again, I didn't really think in terms of the length of time in which I had to fast. It was, Lord, my heart is to give up my flesh. Lord, my heart is to give you something. And I think when we think in those terms and, instead of the length of time, then I think it becomes easier. The first time that we had fasted a 7-day fast, you know, I had never fasted that long. I mean, I think I did 3 days, you know, maybe even 4 days, 5 days, but, never 7 days, no, with no water, because I've fasted, you know, no food. That's no, it was never a problem with me, but with no water, that was another thing. But anyway, the first time we fasted for 7 days, that was really rough. And I think what makes it rough is just the mindset that we're listening to the mind of the flesh at every moment. You know, like, for example, if we're working out, yeah, our muscles scream and stop. And like, you're like, no, you know, they teach you the only way to gain the muscle is if you go a few more reps beyond your, you know, beyond the point of, where your muscle gives out. Because if you don't do that, you're never going to gain the muscle. You're only going to continue at the same, I guess, ability that you had before. And I don't have all the technical words for that. But I do know that focusing on the time can really hinder that. I think it's important to just focus on, you know, the Lord and what he's doing. And when the body's screaming, you know, or, stomach is, I find at least with myself, everyone's different, but at least with myself, like, my stomach, I never... probably majority of us never get like a grumbling stomach because we probably eat often enough. We don't even ever get that. But for me, it doesn't even happen. I fasted some days and I just asked the Lord, Lord, I need your supernatural grace. Because I want to fast, but I have some concerns about, you know, the protein in my body and some, you know, some things. And I don't want to appear to be fasting, you know, whatever. And the Lord has done that. I literally have fasted, you know, 4 or 5 days, and, with not hungry whatsoever and no physical struggling. And I come up and downstairs and I'm doing everything, nothing different, cooking, cleaning, whatever. And that's God's grace. And, so I believe that each and every one of us can ask for God's grace to fast. And the other part is learning how to, just, you know, ignore the flesh is always going to complain. It's always going to say, I don't want to do this, but you just have to ignore it. And I think that's probably the most simplest way that, we can do things. And of course, David has some amazing teachings on fasting and, how to do a proper fast, not just physical, but spiritual. And, so I really suggest looking at those on the YouTube channel or on the website. And, I wanted to share about what Michael shared about the church in China, and I, you know, I think the main thing that I really, the distinction there is that they are led by the Spirit out of necessity, mm-hmm. because of the persecution. And they are led of the Spirit. They are only listening for the Father. They're praying without ceasing, and that gives them the power that they need to gain more people and to endure and all of that stuff. And the difference is in this country, you know, and maybe other countries, is that we don't have that persecution quite yet. It's around the corner, but we don't really know what it's like to be persecuted like them. And, our society glorifies, you know, intelligence and knowledge and wisdom. And, you know, we learn and, but we just, like David has said so many times, you know, you're becoming learners and perpetual students and never doers. And, but there's so much to consider, like, you know, just as David teaches that, we're not, you know, he wants us to bear fruit before we go out. He doesn't want us to win, you know, we need to be sent, you know, but, you know, that's, you know, I guess how fast we bear fruit is dependent upon each individual. But they, out of necessity, are put in that place. And we're not there because again, most of Christianity over here doesn't have that totally sold out mentality that every day of my life is only for Christ. We don't see that. You know, we're called a cult because we look more like the Book of Acts than most other churches probably in America. You know, I'm not saying we're the only ones. I'm just saying few and far in between. And so, I think that's part of the hindrance is that we have such a system here, a Babylonian system that is infiltrated in the church and the mind of the people, the American dream, everything you're supposed to be chasing after. And that is so hard to, you know, to undo in the mind of a person. And although the scripture is very clear about that, I think that the church doesn't really feel it's necessary because we do have those luxuries. We do have all of this abundance or whatever. And it's definitely coming to an end. I think the 7 years of famine are upon us. And we're all, you know, I think there are some people that, especially in this economy and everything, are really, really struggling. But I know it's going to be in that place that the Lord is going to really show himself strong and grow our faith, you know, for miracles when we can't see anything, when we have no way of providing for ourselves, just like they're in that position, you know, because there's no open doors for those people. There's no jobs. There's not, you know, the whole society closes the door on them and they have necessity, you know, must lean upon the Lord. And it's because of that, that's where they draw their power. You know, so that's the distinction I get. And I understand, like, you know, they look at us, you know, and say, oh, you know, we're joking around and stuff like that. And, it's because every day for them is life and death. And over here, it's not that way. And so we can be, you know, we feel we can be a little bit more lax. But, I just feel like, you know, we can seek God and ask him to give us that kind of, desire or burden to enter into that, despite the fact that we don't have that, we're not quite where they are as far as the persecution and everything, but it's just around the corner. And I do believe the Lord's about to start preparing, you know, people, if not already, to get us to that, place, the intercessors and stuff like that, because they can foresee the things that are about to happen. So those are just my thoughts.
Amen. Well, that's right. I think he is getting people aware of what is coming up ahead of us, and we have to be prepared for it. And the only way we can prepare for it is to get closer to him and ask him what he wants us to do. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Angelica.
Yeah, just to, Angelica, you spoke a lot of what I was thinking too about the grace to fast. And, if, you know, you want to, if the wants to there and the, you know, that you really want to do it. You know, God will give you the grace to do it. And especially if it's of him, if you have the wrong attitude about it, you know, sometimes like you feel like you have to do it, something like you feel like you're supposed to do, or you're putting the law on yourself, you know, God, you know, I have found by experience anyhow that the grace wasn't there to do it. And I just suffered, you know, I was tempted at every turn, and I just, all I could think about was food, and, you know, it was awful. You know, but like that 7-day fast that we did, where it was absolutely nothing. We didn't give our bodies any nourishment whatsoever. Physical, no drink, no food. You know, during that time, and I had to go to work every day, and I had long days. I had like 11, 12-hour days from the time I would get up and leave to go to work until I got home, and I had to serve food to everybody else during that time. I had to order food. I had to clean up and, you know, all the stuff. I was dealing with food all the time, and I really had a lot of grace from the Lord, but it didn't tempt me. You know, so the grace was there for him to do. He called the fast. You know, it wasn't something we decided we wanted to do. You know, and that was a hard fast. That was a hard for my fast for me. And I remember calling, you know, I think I called Michael. It's like, I need prayer. I can't do this. You know, I need to pray with me about this, because I knew what was up. You know, my week, it was going to entail, and anyhow, and I went for a walk every day. I live on the second floor, and I had to climb my stairs, you know, when I got home from work. And in the last 2 days, it was getting a lot physically more difficult for me. But, you know, he gave me the grace to do it. I went for a walk, and I wasn't winded. I wasn't tired. I remember one day, it was on the day 4 of the fast, I had the grace, you know, I was running late. And I had to catch the trolley, and it was coming, and I'm like, I need to run. God, help me. I need to run. And he gave me the grace to run. I wasn't winded until I got on the trolley and sat down. And then I was huffing and puffing. And so it's just energy, you know, physical strength and stuff. And the other thing I just wanted to say is I learned some things from a guy I worked with, who was very close to the Lord, and they're under a lot of religion and stuff, but you know, God sees the heart, and I know God gave him dreams, and I just believe he's one of, you know, God's chosen and stuff. He, you know, he's Hispanic, and under the, you know, Catholicism, all that stuff, but they went to meetings and they prayed, and he fasted a lot. He would tell me things, you know, and stuff, but he would always pray, and he said, I give this fast to you. I want to do this. Please help me to fast. And if he would feel like he had to eat, if he couldn't go the whole day, he didn't want to feel bad about it. He's like, Lord, he would just pray and say, I can't do it. You know, please forgive me. I can't do it. And he would just feel the presence of the Lord and the grace to go ahead. It was okay to break his fast that day. But he was very disciplined. And, you know, I learned some things from him too. Just by his own testimonies and how disciplined they were to come together as a group, and they prayed for things, as their church body. And, it was neat what the Lord did there. So, you know, praying and fasting. I've thought about fasting a lot in the last few weeks and stuff, but I don't know if it's my flesh or thinking maybe I need to do this to get a breakthrough. But it's like I asked the Lord, and I'm not really getting an answer. So that I just felt like, okay, well, you know, we're supposed to. I remember after we did, wasn't that 40-day fast of that liquid fast where we were supposed to eat meagerly after that? We were supposed to, you know, live meagerly, eat meagerly, and all that kind of stuff. And I know there's been days I've gotten away, definitely got away from doing that kind of thing, you know, about how I'm eating and that kind of thing. So. You know, I've just been trying to cut back on just quantity, you know. I just want to sacrifice as the Lord leads me to on fasting. And, you know, he wants flesh, and it's, you know, it's a warfare, you know, when you're dealing with all kinds of spiritual stuff and the witchcraft and, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know. There's still power when you're sacrificing. There's still that power. If you are sacrificing, God's going to honor that and protect you. So it's a real personal thing, you know, but if God calls the body to fast, he'll give us the grace to do it. You know, if he's asking individuals to fast, he'll give you the grace to do it, because you can't muster up the want to yourself. You know, maybe you can ask the Lord about that, Ben, if you felt like you were failing, you know, were you doing it in your own strength or because you felt like you had to, you know? So that's kind of what I was thinking when you said you failed. And there's no condemnation, you know, to those in Christ Jesus. It's like, you know, giving up your flesh and sacrificing meals and stuff. It's not easy to do that.
Amen.
That's all.
Thank you, Lord. You know, during all of those fast times that we did here a few years ago, we were always, I don't know if you were, but our flesh was always looking for a way to circumvent that fast in some kind of little way. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, we did that kind of thing. But when that 7-day fast came, that was it. Everything was out the window. You were, and that was probably for me, the hardest one to do. I believe everybody agrees with that 7-day fast was probably the hardest I've ever done. The 40-day fast was easy for us. It was a liquid fast. Of course, I don't know. We did some stuff to circumvent. Shouldn't have, but we did. Go ahead, Julie.
But wasn't that, I don't know, I thought that 7-day fast for me, I just, you know, I thought I just felt great afterwards, you know, that God gave me the grace to do it, and I accomplished something where there are a lot of people who didn't do it. You know, they couldn't do it. Remember how David was saying, it's like the I can'ts, you know, the people who were saying, I can't do this, you know, that they still had to fast after that, if you remember.
Well, I tell you, on that 7-day fast, we had it down to the second when it was up. This was at 12 midnight that night, and all four of us, me and Leon and Kevin and David, and sitting up there, and we weren't going, we had some of those, what do you call them? The protein drinks.
Ensure?
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't Ensure. It was something else. Anyway, we had some of those and we mixed it with ice cream. Well, it tasted so good to some of them. They got another one and then they got another one. And the next thing you know, they're in the bathroom emptying it all out again. Oh my. I knew better. I said, I'm just going to eat this one. David, he ate his. But boy, I tell you, that was a hard one. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I was just going to share. There was a couple times since I came to UBM that I thought, you know, just after reading the Bible, you feel like you need to fast. And I tried, and it was always in my mind. It's like, am I trying to do it for the Lord or do I just want to lose weight? And there was always that thing in my mind, like, I'm just trying to lose weight. This isn't the right reason to do this. So anyways, I could never stick to it. And then every time that David has said, we're going to do a fast, the 7-day fast, the 3-day fast, every time it's come from him, it has been so easy for me. It's just... just a different mindset. I don't know. It's coming from David, coming from the Lord. He's saying we need to fast and I could just do it. Whereas any other time I couldn't do it on my own or I would break the fast, but there's just something like I know that's from the Lord. And so I'm going to be able to do it. And so I could just do it. So that was my little experience.
Amen. Well, I was used to fasting because when I would go out every weekend, I'd fast for 3 days every week. Every week I'd fast 3 days, no food, no water, no nothing. And then the morning that we'd take off on Saturday and go somewhere to evangelize, we'd eat a breakfast and then go on. So we'd have some strength, you know, and then go on and hit the streets. But boy, when I got here on that 7-day fast, that hurt. Go ahead, Angelica.
Yeah, I wanted to quickly say too, and maybe this might help. When you're fasting, like seeking the purpose for why the Lord wants you to fast, like what's his heart on it? It could be someone else. It could be like the children It could be family members. It could be, you know, for your own, you know, personal growth or whatever. I think that helps when we have a purpose, or we know God's purpose, and so we don't get tripped up by the enemy and confused or condemned as to why we're fasting or not. But also, I listened to one of David's teachings a while back, and he had mentioned glorified fasting, the atomic power of fasting or something like that. And I the only reason I would recommend the book or ever listening is because there's some amazing testimonies about how the Lord brought this about and everything. But I wouldn't, there is a little legalism in there because it was such a revelation to them. Like, the Lord had brought back the power of fasting at this time to this people, and the Lord just did amazing things through it. He gave revelations, and people were fasting for prolonged fasts, you know, 40 and 50, you know, 60 days and more. And, people were getting healed, and, you know, new crops of hair, people that were underweight, went into the fast. And then when they ended the fast, the Lord put them at the proper weight. You know, there was just so many amazing, like, amazing testimonies and revelations and things like that, that came with the fasting. And so I think, to me, that kind of, it gives you an expectation, like, Lord, you know, thank you for the grace to fast. And, you know, just expecting that the Lord would show you something, or, you know, asking him to show you something, or, you know, even if it's just for the discipline of breaking down your own flesh, because there's been times when I know I've struggled with the mind of the flesh, and the only time it shuts up is when I am in a physical fast, because, you know, it loses its weakness, you know, it becomes weak, and it loses its ability to completely overtake the mind of the spirit. And so that's helped me, like, you know, in denying self. And of course, you know, fasting can be really denying self anything, you know? I think that's, you know, a good thing to do. But yeah, I really love that, all the testimonies there with it's like the power of atomic fasting or something. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
I'll look it up here in a minute, but I would avoid legalism, because, you know, it's not about the number of days we fast. If you commit something to God, then you should fulfill it. And if you're weak, then I have asked the Lord to, have an open-ended fast. Like, Lord, I want to fast, you know, no food, and maybe, you know, as little water as possible. If I need water, you know, I'll drink it, unless the Lord specifically says no food, no water, 3 days or whatever. And, you know, then, okay, you have to fulfill that, you know, like, that's his desire. But he's weak to the weak. And so I think the Lord just wants us to not be afraid, you know, of denying the self, or not be afraid of, like, any consequence physically and all that stuff. Like, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of times, just here recently, I've done just one meal a day. I fasted two meals a day. It seemed to just work fine for me. I'm okay at that. And I don't, you know, I don't load up my plate with a bunch of spaghetti or anything like that for that one meal, but just a normal plate. And it seems to work fine for me. And that's what I do a lot of time, just one meal a day. Go ahead, Julie.
Just something else I wanted to add. The last time we did a fast, I think as a group, or called a fast, I think it was a 40-day fast, if I'm following correctly. But anyhow, what helped me is to encourage myself and get my mind on things, you know, it's like, okay, so what about the food? I would listen to those teachings that David has on fasting. I would listen to them to help encourage myself in the fast and, you know, those scriptures and why I'm doing it and that kind of thing. So, you know, cause it just helps me. It helps me focus while I was doing. I would try to listen to one, you know, every day, you know, just to remind myself and, you know, the scriptures about it and why we're doing it. And And I remember one of the things that, bless your sister. One of the things that David shared too, when he first was in the church and stuff, he was fasting and it was kind of like a law thing to him, but at the same time, he was really doing it to get closer to the Lord. And I think if anything, that should be our motive too, is to get closer to the Lord in anything we do. You know, when we sacrifice ourselves. And the other thing that it's been on my mind too, is like some of the teachings David's done here lately with some of these older testimonies, like Michael Boldea. You know, he was a faster, and anytime he was going to go out on any kind of trip or whatever, and he was going to be prepared, he and, you know, his ever people, there were people, not just him, but others, it's like they would pray first. You know, he would go into prayer and fasting before they went out, and seeking the Lord and getting prayed up and all that stuff. So, you know, he's been doing that a long time. Anyhow, I just wanted to share that too.
Amen. Amen. What about the evangelical part of the evangelist part of it? Remember what he shared about that? He said this. We have to understand that the gospel that is preached in China is a little bit different. The emphasis is not only intellectual and wait a minute, that's not where I wanted to go. Oh, here it is. How do the Acts of the Apostles compare to the Chinese church? What does the Chinese church believe about the Book of Acts? They'd say that they're there. They believe that Acts is a demonstration of the normal Christian life. It is a testimony of the resurrected Christ. He's still the same today. Well, it's some player in here. It's what they tell about is what Jesus said. He said, we go out and evangelize. That's what we do, all of us. Do what Jesus told us to do. What'd you think about the floor slippery because of their tears that flowed during prayer, you know? Man, we get 10 minutes of prayer, man, we strut around it like we've done something. When it ought to be, we ought to be spending hours sometimes, you know, when it's necessary in prayer. Not to put a law on anybody, but how many of you know that our prayer life lacks a lot if you're like, myself, you know, I try to get in at least an hour, and most of the time more than that praying, but generally speaking around an hour. Go ahead, Julie, depending on the situation.
Yeah, it is depending on the situation. It's like sometimes, you know, whatever, it's like, I think you said some people, you know, that the leaders would pray at least so many hours a day, 8 hours a day or something like, or how many hours he said. And he said that there are some that's all they do is pray, that they are in prayer all the time. And that's a gift from the Lord, because obviously we all have a life. We're all responsible for something. We all have ministry, and things come up where you have to, you know, you stop what you're doing and you minister however God's leading. You know, it might be, you know, taking a phone call, sending a text message to somebody and, or whatever to pray with somebody, you know, it's whatever, you know, I can't, there's times I'm awake at night praying. There's sometimes I can't sleep, so I'm praying. There's sometimes I get up early in the morning. I know that, you know, each of us have something to do, you know, regarding work or family or something. So, you know, there's things that we're called to do. That, I think that's a gift too, you know, that we're always supposed to be praying unceasingly. And that's just, however, you know, remind yourself, pray in the spirit when you can, remind yourself to, you know, do warfare, remind yourself to, whatever, or when you're sitting down to read the word and praying over the word, you know, pray the scriptures, you know, like Teresa was doing earlier, you know, that's, you know, you pray when you read the word, you pray the word, pray the scriptures. David's got a teaching on that too. I think one or two, and Michael's taught on that too, and praying the scriptures. It's, you know, we're oracles of God. When we speak the word of God, something's happening in the spirit realm, you know, and, God's got his church. We're all different parts of the body, I guess is what I'm saying. And there are people that devote themselves to prayer a lot. They're in a place where they can do that. So just wanted to add that a little bit.
Amen. Amen. Here's what I was looking for. See, what about missions and method of evangelism? How do Chinese brothers live out the Great Commission? And he says, their theology and methods are really quite simple. They believe there's only one reason why God has left them here on earth, and that is to evangelize the lost. Anyone who is not actively pursuing this holy purpose is missing the mark. The Great Commission cannot be compromised. Their methods are anointed preaching with signs following. And they go to every village that they can, and the first thing they'd ask is, what's the biggest problem in this town? Well, sometimes that's impossible for us to do because you live in a big town or right close to a big town. So you just go up there and ask a family, what's your biggest problem? And then deal with it then. You can do that. One thing I've learned over the years about evangelizing is God's going to back you up. You have to implicitly trust him to follow through with what you tell people, but you have to be honest and you have to be sin-free. Those two things. Well, sin-free would kind of take in honesty too, wouldn't it? So, yeah. Yeah, you have to be sin-free. Always, always confess your sins and get that sanctification, get back into sanctification before you go out because you want God to be with you. Angelica put that in there, Franklin Hall's Atomic Power with God Through Fasting and Prayer. That's a pretty good book, but like she said, you got to watch out for legalism. I read that a few years ago. All right, anyone else? What's your thoughts on that, Andrew? Then I'm going to ask you, Ben and Pat.
Well, I was thinking about this person, the big guy, that they went up to. Seems to me that this person had these 12 demons on him, and this was disturbing him all his life. But who put those demons there on him? Was it the devil, or was it God? And these two young little women went with boldness, I guess, and you know, sometimes we try to figure out boldness and we end up having some sort of man's idea of what boldness is. And it's not really right, you know, so this big guy, you know, he's like that guy there who was with Jesus there. He had all these demons in him, legions of them. But what did Jesus do to those? That was a chastening. Like, he's running around in the tombs with no clothes on. So you should know that a person like that is demon possessed. And this was a chastening for him. Like, yeah, they lost 2,000 pigs, but that's a lot of demons, you know. And And how did Jesus know to go across the lake there? It's what I'm starting to think, you know? Like, he's going across the lake to, and this guy is the first guy, he comes out of the boat, and he, how did he know? How did Peter know about Cornelius coming? And then, you know, how did the jailer, you know, who where the earthquake was, you know? Because God's in control of everything, you know? And I just think of that name he has, I Am. An I Am name, you know? And guess what? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And who's got to share that name with him? I Am. What a beautiful name. I am in love. I am in peace. I am in goodness. You know, I Am. So, you know, how much access can you have to I Am? You know, if your name is... It's just so amazing, you know. I think it was a Bible study, may have been the last one. You have to deal with God as always there, here, everywhere. So I am, you know, do believe the word and the work and the deed. But, you know, it's sometimes, you know, like, you get another word from the Bible and you say, they're praying for an open door. Now, what does that mean? You know, was that an open door? Did these little girls know they had an open door? They saw a man who was not possessed, but in need of the Lord. So but again, how did they know to go to that village? Or even go wherever they came from, going down the road, whatever, you know. So it's kind of a interesting thing that God is I Am, and he choreographs all things, and he's sovereign. But we have to follow him. You know, we have to follow Jesus, and we have to follow God. So that's what I'm thinking about, because, you know, a fast is a fast, you know. What if he does want you to fast just a little bit of time or a whole bunch of time? What if you don't feel right fasting, you know, like whatever, food from the kitchen, and you start watching the news more or something, you know, and you go, well, that's just a bunch of baloney anyway, the news. So why is this any... How is this profitable for me to fast these 3 days and not let go of that for 3 days too, you know? So I'm not trying to put a legal thing on it, but, you know, why are we here if we have a name very close to the I Am? Because the I Am says who I am. So, and we're in that name, so what do we do? How do we get a hold of this Lord to lead us and guide us? I don't know what I'm saying. So he does lead us and guide us. So I don't want to speak anymore on that, but look. It's just the Lord knows what he's doing. He's so big and marvelous that when the time comes, you know it'll come. And it's going to work out. Praise God. But you see, because yep. If you go ahead of him, it ain't going to work. You know, if you're going to... Jesus is the head... But Jesus is, you're with Jesus in God. And for ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's amazing. You know, I sometimes wonder, like, they start calling Jesus God, you know, and I was going, do they really understand what they got here? You know, because they're two different beings. It's the name that puts them all together. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And of course, we got to be in that name too, because that's what he gave us. So, praise God, glory to God. There's a lot of glory available that he wants to share with us.
I believe he fixed it too. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was, when I was listening to that story about the the girls that went out, you know, and I've been reading some of the things on Henry Groover, and it reminded me of a story that he told. If you've ever watched, you know, any of his videos and him preaching, he's kind of all over the place, you know, and kind of goes through tangents and whatnot. But he was telling, but the thing that I got out of, one of the things I got from his testimony, and also this, which was evident in these girls, and that was they were absolutely fearless. They had no fear for any kind of repercussions for this man that was demonized, or fear for their life, or whatever you say, however you say it. Henry Groover told a story of he was called to preach in a church, and he went to this church in Illinois somewhere, and this church bought they bought a church, or, you know, a building, and they were having problems with crime and people stealing things, and so they built a big brick wall around the parking lot, and they had coils of, you know, I don't know, that sharp, you know, that sharp razor wire going across around the ledge and everything like that. And I believe the story is that Henry, you know, he preached there for a while, and then he was going to go out and prayer walk, you know, in the neighborhood. And if I'm not mistaken, he said, "All right, so where's the worst place to go?" type thing. And the pastor said basically, "Well, you don't want to go there, but this is the worst place where the crime rate is, you know, they have killings down there, like 15 killings a week or something like that." And so he talked these guys into going with him, or somehow, I think he guilted them into going with him into this neighborhood. And one of these pastors was Hispanic. And they went into this neighborhood. One side of the block was black, you know, black people, and they were gangs. There were black gangs that ruled the one side of the street, and there was Hispanic gangs that ruled the other side of the street. And I remember the pastor, you know, before they went, he said, you can't go down there, because you step into that neighborhood and they will shoot you because you're white. he said, they'll kill you. And of course, Henry says, you know, in his way, he said, it's too late. They can't kill me. I already died. I died in Christ and they can't kill me. I'm already dead. And he, and on that premise, basically, is where his faith was resting, his in that reality and in that truth. And I'm not going to say that that was all that he believed, obviously, but it led in him, it left in him a sense of fearlessness. He did not fear for his life. He didn't fear for the possibility of being shot, because he realized and knew that God's hand of protection was on him, because God knows how to take care of what's his. And he was resting in that peace. And he said, and if I do get killed, then it's my time. God has, you know, called my time. It's time to go. And glory be to God. I'm going to be with Jesus, etc. Total fearlessness, but he wasn't pounding his chest fearlessness. It was just, there was no fear there. He went up and, you know, they pulled up into the street and he said, where's the leader of the gang's house or whatever? And they pointed to it and said, but you cannot go there or you will get shot. So he hopped out of the car, and like he did in his prayer walk, he said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there, but I'm trusting you're going to give me what I need at that time. And when he walked up the sidewalk and stepped up to getting ready to put his foot on the top step, the guy pulled out his gun. He said, you know, do not do that, or whatever he said. You know, you've gone far enough. And Henry, under his breath, said, Lord, what do I say? And the Lord said, tell him that you both have the same Father. And so Henry said, I just wanted to talk to you because we both have the same Father. And when he said that, it hit the person, the leader of the gang, and there became a conflict between the group, the group, because they were accusing the leader of having a white father. And they were going back and forth. And the guy said, no, I don't know who my father was, but he couldn't have been white. You know? Started a whole big thing like that. And Henry walked up onto the porch while these guys were arguing and bantering back and forth. And he started and he said, look, fellas, I didn't mean to start a rift. I'm just trying to tell you that your father is God, my father God, and he is my father, and we're of the same ilk. We're out of the same family. He doesn't care about white and black or brown or anything like that. And anyway, I'm getting off the subject, but the Lord diffused that situation and he ended up leading them to the Lord. That leader to the Lord, and the group followed after him. He preached the gospel to them, and they accepted the Lord and led. And then they became his bodyguards in the neighborhood. And so the Hispanic gang across the street yelled over because they saw that this pastor was Hispanic, and said, and they were threatening him, we're going to kill you if you don't get out of there or whatever. So Henry and the black guys went across the street and they reconciled, and Henry led them to the Lord. And in a matter of hours, God transformed that neighborhood of fighting gangs to Christians, all because Henry was listening to the Lord, following him, and absolute fearless in his approach, not fearing him, his life or anything. And that's what I saw in those two girls. They were dwelling in that same fearlessness. And they approached this monster of a man and cast the demons out and conquered the neighborhood and the whole city turned to Christ. So praise the Lord. That's just what I saw through that whole process. And just, you know, thank you, Lord. Praise you. And that the Lord just bless us with that very same grace and wisdom and faith and trust and rest in your truth and in your life, in your protection, in that secret place of the Most High. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's a great place to be in, is when you have no fear whatsoever. Okay, Ben, did you want to say anything?
Well, it was the comment about how they prayed, you know. I'll confess I don't pray for hours and hours and hours, but I find I have a hard time even getting past 10 minutes. You know, like, it's not like I'm not trying, you know, like I pray to God. I pray what gets to my mind. I pray for you guys. I pray for the situations in my life. And you know, I don't want to be repetitive in everything that I'm saying. So I'm not asking for the same thing every day, but it's just like in my head, when you said that, I was like, I wonder what they're praying about all the time. And I'm sure that they have more trials and tribulations over there with all the persecution and whatnot. But, you know, that's another thing that probably God gives them, is just more things to pray about. I don't know. It's just, I find I don't have, like, even when I'm trying to talk to Jesus, it's just like, you know, I run out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I do, Ben, is I pray in the Spirit a lot. And when you pray in the Spirit, that, you know, I just ask the Lord, Lord, just pray through me the things that you want me to pray for. And then that's what I do. I have prayed for hours like that, but it's been a while. I generally pray for about an hour, hour and a half at the most. But when you do that, God's presence comes on you, and you know you're in the Spirit, and you're praying, and you know that God's praying through you the things that you need to pray about, and that's the way I did. Did you have something you wanted to add, Julie? Did you have your hand up? Okay. Go ahead, Ben.
Not really to add, agreed with you about praying in the Spirit, because there's so much I don't know how to pray about in mine. I might, like, the stuff we're praying against with the deep state, the stuff we're praying against you know, the things with the election, the things that are happening with all that. You know, I bind and I cast down and I do all that stuff, but then I'll pray in the spirit over what I just prayed. Because, you know, I don't always know what God's will is and all those things and what his plan is and purpose. And that's always a smart and safe way to do. And before we leave, I wanted to play that little song. It's a short that you mentioned, Michael. Missy mentioned it. But when I think Andrew had his hand up, so I don't want to. He has something he wants to share.
Do you have something, Andrew?
Well, I was just thinking about this. You know how we get attacked. And we recognize what is attacking us. And I was just thinking, when you're praying against things, people are being attacked with things. And we should know how to pray for those things that are out there, because we know what's right and we know what's wrong. We know what's righteousness and iniquity. We know what's light and darkness. We know what Christ and Belial is. We know what believing and unbelieving is, and we know the sanctuary and the idol. We know what is a sheep and who the head sheep is, and we know what a goat is and who the head goat is. So, and we know what's on the right and on the left, and you know where you are seated, and your name to be seated there, so it's progressive. And the Lord today actually showed me something I never thought about, was that perfection is also instantaneous and progressive. Because he would have never wrote Philippians chapter 3. So that's about it. So I'm just to give people ideas on how to pray. You've had so much example given to you from all the things you were attacked by, so you should use that for your benefit. Do a Romans 8:28 with it. Right? I don't know if I'm off balance here, but that's the way I'm looking at it.
Amen. All right. Well, how long is it? We can go ahead and do it. Go ahead. You got it.
Like a minute or so?
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to say quick, her dad wrote that song.
All I want is Jesus. Nothing satisfies me like you do. Abba, my Father, draw me to the very heart of you, that my heart might be with the rhythm of yours, and your chains of love send me free evermore. I cry, Abba, Father, draw me to the very heart of you.
I hadn't seen that. That's not the one I'm talking about, but that's a good one too. I like that. She's got one where she's playing the harp and she sings. I think it's the goodness of God.
It is. I have that one too.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
what?
It's time to go. I got to get this up and get back to studying. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for a good night tonight. And Father, place it in us to be the Christian that you want us to be, do the things that you want us to do. in freedom, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we praise you, Father, that you will talk to us if we'll just listen. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Y'all be blessed, you hear?